You're listening to Gunapod TT.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to another episode of Gunapod TT. This is your boy Dion, and I'm here as always with none other than Keegan Bowen. Keegan, say what's up, man.
What's up, Gunners? We're very excited. Show, exciting show. Planned for you all today.
Excited show. Keegan is excited. That's really what's going on here. Shannon, work out his words, right? we are back after advancing to the quarterfinals of the Europa League. And of course, you know, in one of the most dramatic Premier League games against West Ham this season, of course, Arsenal is involved, right, in something so dramatic. But, you know, we want to start with the Europa League tie. I would have said before in the last podcast that I really wasn't worried about this tie. I didn't think Olympiacos had what it took to come and really score 3 goals to make them advance, because they needed to score, they needed to win outright. With us being 3-1 up, we had 3 away goals. They would not have been able to draw it. You understand? Like, they needed to score 3, basically. And I didn't think they had what it takes. So that's the and truly they didn't have what it takes. Thanks to Dani Ceballos making another mistake in his third consecutive. This is his third error to goal in his third consecutive Europa League game. And it's, I don't say much, because I think he gets some of his sub appearances.
No. I don't think it's Europa League alone. I think it's in the Prem 2.
In the Prem 2?
Mm-hmm.
It had that one in the Europa League. I think yes. In the Prem 2, yes. So, I mean, come on, Arteta. Come on, the dog have to. Yeah, they just stop playing. Yeah, they just rest up until it's time for loan to them. That's my opinion. Well, if we get to the lineup now, we talked about the lineup for this game. Is it official that Bellerin is now our second choice right back?
Yeah, because this was the reserve team.
Yeah, but not really. The back line kind of strong. I mean, Gabriel, Luis, Tierney.
He can't afford to get back up, so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's really a rotated team. Not really a reserve team, but a rotated team when you're seeing men like Elneny starting.
Xhaka plays again.
Xhaka always gonna play. I don't see. He don't run, so not like he's gonna be tired. Yeah, so I'm saying, like, he's gonna play on. The funny thing is, I think Xhaka will be in the team regardless, because it has been said that Arteta wanted City to sign Xhaka when he was there. So I think he really, 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 really values Xhaka for some reason. I can't explain why. I mean, Xhaka is an inconsistent player. That's the best I could put. When he's at his best, when he's playing well, he's definitely a valuable player, but
he's
inconsistent. So
he's one of the best passers of the ball that I know on his day.
On his day, yeah.
I had a point in that, because it's so inconsistent. Because some games you'd see him breaking the lines with some cut passes, and then you'll see him spreading some diagonals, pinpoint. And in other games, it's just sideways and backwards.
Yeah. So, like I said, on his day, and his day comes, less often.
Yeah.
Less often than
I do appreciate that at all.
Yeah. Other than that, Emile Ceballos, Pepe, and Aubameyang straight back into the team after, you know, disciplinary action for late coming. Pepe, Ceballos. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this lineup and I think to myself, because we definitely playing with our 10. I was thinking to myself that, you know, Arteta trying to protect Ceballos from making the mistakes deep in the pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
By playing him high up the pitch. So if he's like, you know, go be your expressive serve by high up the pitch. If you lost the ball, you know, you're higher up the pitch. We still get back.
No, I think Ceballos trying too hard us.
Yeah, the big thing about it is, my problem, and this is football. Yes, you're trying too hard. You're making mistakes, right? The best way to come back and find your confidence is just do the simple things. Pass the ball, you know, knock it around, and don't try to be too fancy. And it's like the man just can't, it's like that one man when you're sweating that had to try a beat every time. Like every time he get the ball, he had to try a flick, he had to try a fan, he had to, you know, try to get somebody in the corner to span him. Like that's a bias, you understand? And I really, honest to God, don't get it. Like, you've had 2 to 3 bad games before. Like, play a solid game. Do what you can do well. Cut all the fancy things. You understand what I'm saying?
I was surprised that he started Emil.
Yeah, because Emil is a man has shown that he can make a 90.
Yeah, so, and he ran around real hard in the derby.
Yeah, that was surprising. But, you know, Odegaard is a loony, so you really can't play Odegaard for everything. Because he might just end up going back. But, I mean, I kind of glad that, you know, Saka didn't play. Even begging for Saka to be on the bench. But this was the perfect game for somebody like Martinelli to start for me.
Yeah, Nelson was on the bench too.
Nelson could have got a game. I seen Nketiah was on the bench.
No, forget it.
But, you know, I don't think Emil has been in the first team, so I don't understand why, you know, he needed to play Emil. And obviously, I wasn't surprised at the Aubameyang pick because he missed the derby. So, obviously, he's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he should play. Any other comments on the lineup?
No comments on the lineup. Per se, it's just Olympiacos was real lucky.
That was real lucky, you see?
Yeah, like, men training one-on-one after one-on-one after one-on-one. It's like, bruh.
Alright, yeah. Well, we could get onto the chances in this game. Or we could get onto the goal and then maybe come across the chances after. Because I think there are 2 chances that we had to talk about that we didn't score. Actually, 3. There's the chance that Pepe take when he keep us in no man's land and he just kind of scuffed the shot. You should have been looking for the pass.
It got a little deflection. I think he was actually trying to pass it.
I think he was trying to pass it too.
Yeah, but it got a deflection and it almost rolled in the goal. Mm. Is this the same game when Aubameyang tried to chip?
Yes, this is the game that Aubameyang attempts the chip.
I felt like I was playing FIFA there, boy.
Yeah, boy. I felt like he was like, boy, L1-0. Because anyone playing FIFA right now knows that FIFA totally destroyed the chip. The chip was OP, and now the chip is completely useless.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happened to Aubameyang, like, he got a FIFA update, because that chip was...
It was terrible. It beat the keeper, but unfortunately, it beat the post.
Well, it had to beat the keeper because it was beating the post. It beat the post before it beat the keeper, bro. Like, come on. Just poor from Aubameyang, but I feel like he's starting to get back into that slump that he was in to begin the season.
Mm.
Because he strikes me as a player now that, and this is not something that I've seen from him, where he looks like he's out on the pitch lacking confidence. I've never seen that before this season, where like he's not feeling confident in his abilities now, boy. Like, I've watched many games where Aubameyang is wasteful, but he's still taking the chances, he's still taking the shots. And even in the most dire of situations, he barely getting chances or whatever. Like, he never looked, you know, like he was lacking confidence, but this season is a season where I've seen him look like he lacking confidence. If you like money, just take away your confidence or something, because
oh my gosh.
I mean the man get the contract.
Man looking like Ozil.
The man should have all the confidence in the world. See that car you were drilling? Come on.
But he did say when he signed the contract he wanted to be an Arsenal legend. However,
He's trying to not do it. he tried his best not to do it.
No, I'm a bit concerned for him because of how...
He said that standard too high.
No. Okay. Because of how Arsenal operating, right?
Yeah.
If you're not up to the level, you're going to get sold. So I hope that he know that if he continues performing like this, the most he might get is a... a half a season next season.
Yeah.
And by January, he's already out of the bench.
No, but and the thing about it is, I'm glad that you said that, is either you're not operating or you get sold, right? Or not playing properly, or you're not to the mark and you get sold. Look how long we keep Ozil for, like, because we couldn't sell them.
Anders just came in.
No, but what I'm saying is, I know the club wanted to sell Ozil for years. We wanted to sell Mustafi for years. We wanted to sell Kolasinac for years. Like, you know, since we get Kolasinac, we wanted to get him back out. So, like, I mean, at the end of the day, when Arsenal signed players, because we still operate like a big club, right? So we sign in players for marquee prices. We putting them on high salaries, and when they don't pan out, they want the same salary that other clubs who the more to the level just simply not paying. So it's gonna be hard. So even if Aubameyang popped down right now, right? Who's gonna try to pick up Aubameyang and pay him $250 a week? Us?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think nobody. The only clubs that are misguided enough to do that is clubs like It's clubs like, what do you call it? Barcelona. Imagine. Remember when they signed, what's his name? Coutinho. Like, they make those big spendings. Huh?
Yeah.
You understand? Just taking a little pause. Right, so we back. And as I was saying, you know, Aubameyang, I don't know who's gonna sign him if he doesn't live up to the mark, my boy. You understand what I'm saying? So, once again, we saddled with a long contract. And if the player is not performing, we're going to have to hold on to that contract or buy it out now, man.
Right. And what I want to say is, even though we might never be able to sell him, he's not going to be playing every week and playing trash, I can tell you that.
No, well, I don't expect that. I just saying that the idea that he could get sold or moved on, it's kind of difficult. I don't think nobody want to buy Aubameyang and pay his contract at 32. Only Arsenal signing players in the 30s and getting them big money. William Borges. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now, but let me talk about the goal now. Olympiacos scored. Sebaio's trying a little flick.
David Luiz, aka back off boss.
Yeah, this is David Luiz, and defensive communication is at fault for this, right? No, I mean, because I didn't actually watch his game. Did you watch his game?
Yes.
Right, but I didn't watch it, but I tried to watch it. I reached 10 minutes in and wow, it was boring. It felt boring. I don't know. But anyway, what I have to say is, like, even though Sabayos tries a little trick, because a lot of people are like, Sabayos again, and he has a part to play in the goal being scored. I don't understand how he could lose the ball in the opponent half.
Yeah.
And still get back, like, the defense had to step up there. And to me, it's like, as I was saying, I was like, David Luiz should have pulled to El Arabi one time. And I think he should go to El Arabi regardless of Gabriel telling him, hey, Kona, I have it covered. For the simple reason that there was on a counter-attack, it was like 2v4. You understand what I'm saying? It was two players,
we had a lot of players on back. Four.
So, it's not like it has somebody on the wing or those charging down at us with more players. It have no reason to back off. David Luiz should have just gone to the ball. Gone to the man, actually. You understand? So, the pass is made out to the wing. And El Arabi just strolled into the box. And now you can't go to him. Now you can't attack. Okay, don't want to give him a penalty. He cut in on the right foot. Take a shot. Get a deflection. Back at the net. And so I don't even wanna blame the defense so much as it's just poor from David Luiz again. So
nah, I think communication too, man. If
it has a part to play for sure.
Gabriel, should I tell him go?
I think it has a part to play for sure, but in my mind is like he should have just gone anyway. Like, I don't think you need your defensive partner to tell you go.
In that moment he did. And because he didn't, look what happened.
I'm not saying that. Not necessary. If you get what I'm saying, I'm just saying that in that instance, you don't need him to be like, go. You understand? And who's the leader in the back there? That's our next thing. You know, Leno is not the leader, right? Gabriel technically is, but Gabriel now comes. Should he be the one that is the younger Brazilian between him and David Luiz, telling David Luiz what to do with more experience. So
I don't even think it's a matter that I think both of them are professional footballers and they had to communicate.
Right. I hear you. But I mean, as I say once again, really wasn't that concerned about this game. We go through the tie. And that's it. We could talk about the draw afterwards. Let's get into the game that I have no idea how to explain this game. especially the first two goals that was scored against us. Obviously you're talking about West Ham, right? Let me just go where we just usually start. Let's start with the lineup. We talked about the lineup for this game against West Ham.
I felt like it was interesting to play Xhaka again. And it was interesting to play Lacazette on top. Even though I know Lacazette on form, I think we looked really good the other day with Aubameyang on top.
Right.
With the three youngsters behind. I think... So, my problem wasn't that Lacazette sat on top. Problem was Lacazette and Aubameyang start.
Right.
Because I felt like if we had Lacazette on top with the three youngsters behind him, it was good. Or we put Aubameyang on top with the three youngsters behind him, it was good.
Yeah.
But reverting to this Aubameyang on the wing and Laka on top thing that we've been doing and getting licks with, like, I feel like that was a recipe for disaster for me.
It also was kind of weird to see Aubameyang start out on the right as well. But obviously, I didn't see the start of this game. And I was, you know, leaving church, heading home, looked at my phone, 2-0 down. And by the time I reached home, the score was 3-1. And I was like, what is even going on in this football game? Yeah. 4 goals in the first half. But, lineup-wise, I kind of agree with you wholeheartedly. At this point in time, we passed the experiment of trying to fit in Lacazette or Aubameyang. Play either one and actually put proper wing options now, boy.
Yeah.
I don't think Aubameyang is a proper wing option. And even if you're playing him on the wing, he's definitely not a good option out on the right-hand side. Man's can't cross.
he could cross. What is the problem is he doesn't beat his man.
Right. And
that's the problem.
You think he could cross?
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean
something for the season already.
I mean, we've been watching Bellerin cross all season.
He's a way better than Bellerin, bro.
So I mean, anybody could cross by this.
He could cross Aubameyang. I just observe Aubameyang, and in the attacking third, he now 9 out of 10 times picks the right pass.
Okay, pass. Alright.
Whether it be a cross, a true ball, a short pass, he's pick it.
Yeah.
Alright. So the lineup for me wasn't too much of a problem. I didn't understand why Gabriel didn't start, because Gabriel for the past two games have been looking really, really good. He's getting back to his old self, the Gabriel that we knew that won 3 player of the month in a row. Not saying that I was vexed at Mari's start, because I know Mari could play too.
Yeah, for sure.
But I found it strange that he was dropped. Chambers at right back again.
Fantastic.
I mean, he was fantastic, but I mean, I didn't see it coming away.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of thought that either Bellerin or Cedric could have played this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, Chambers at right back kind of worries me, because he really doesn't have the pace.
Bro.
And he's also coming back from an ACL, so you're definitely like, you know.
In his defense, he did take his time with that recovery.
He did take his time.
He didn't rush that back at all.
Yeah, they do better with the recovery from ACL injuries. But yo, I think my only big flaw besides the attacking issue was Xhaka playing.
again,
right? And, nothing for me is wrong with Pablo playing over Gabriel. I think it depends on what Arteta wants to do. If he wants to have a more passing game, obviously, I think he might play Pablo Mari.
Gabriel could pass, but
I think Gabriel isn't as good as Pablo passing out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel could ping them long passes well, but I don't think he does play like pass and move nobody as well as Pablo would do it. I'm not saying he can't do it, but you know, Pablo to me, he's very adept at passing the ball in the back and thing. What I really wish and hope for was that maybe one of them was right footed number. So, you know, we could have Gabriel and Murray instead of this thing. But other than that, good. We have 6 goals to talk about, so let me just get into the goal. Right?
First goal?
Hey, you know what we didn't talk about in that first game with Olympiacos?
What was that?
When Pepe take out Emil, boy. With that shot. I wanted to mention that. Sidetrack. Right? Let me get into the first goal now. A man who... There are few people that I hate in football. Few. Very few.
I don't hate
them. I don't hate the person. I hate them in football. Like, when I see them on the football pitch, I hate them. I don't have a problem with Jesse Lingard. But on the football field, I hate that man. I hate for he to score on Weaver.
Nah, yeah, that's a few sick. That million.
I don't mind, you know, you score your goal, you celebrate and thing. I think what get my mad was when he take the picture and went on Instagram and put the location as dance floor. In the Emirates Stadium, like, after that, dog, like, I hate that man on a footballing level, dog, like, even on a slightly personal level, like, the disrespect, like, why he carry up down so much, but he's a man kind of finding form again under David Moyes with West Ham, and I don't want to take away anything from him. Excellent goal, excellent shot.
He looked good in the moments in this match.
Yeah, he looked good for sure. He has been, since he went to West Ham, he has been like the star player. Like, his stats and things, it's like, ooh, why Ole wasn't playing this man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I sure, man, you fans watching him, like, he could do this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, Ole, you know, play him ever. As a fine party, I'd fall for this goal. I'm not sure what's going on with party. I think the injuries and the little setbacks and COVID and all of that kind of thing. Kind of affecting his integration with the team and him playing up to the mark that we know he could play.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular juncture, Lingard was his man. And he should have been back on Lingard so Lingard wouldn't be collecting the ball in space for him to get a shot. But at the end of the day, sure, we had our laps there. He get the ball, he scores an absolutely fantastic goal. Let's get on to the other goal, which I find controversial. I'm sure every Arsenal fan would find it controversial, but the rest of the world kind of seems like that's normal, and I think it's the same kind of thinking, because obviously everybody loves to hate Arsenal, the same kind of thinking with the Davinson Sanchez tackle on Lacazette when we get the penalty against Tottenham, right? Right, what do you think of Tottenham? Anyway, so I want to say this is, I am not against short free kicks or quickly taken free kicks, right? Nothing against it. If a tackle happen, the referee blows, tweet, foul, sets the ball in the spot, and you just kick it off one time, sure, no problem, right? At this particular juncture during the game, the tackle was happening. The referee was clearly reprimanding and talking to Saka when they take the free kick. I think that can't happen. I don't think the referee should have the attention of a player on our team and having a conversation with them. And then he feels like, you know, people should just start back the game while the referee is talking.
Mm.
That's crazy to me. Like, I don't think that, I think the referee, again, flabbergasted, but right, like, so I was real annoyed.
Let me take over then. So, my thing is, I was thinking, right? I think a football pitch make up into thirds, right? The defensive third, the midfield third, and attacking third.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the attacking third, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think quick free kicks is a thing in the attacking third. And if we in the attacking third, like just now, usually, just wait for the referee to blow on her.
Right.
And first thing, Jesse didn't place the ball. Passed the ball. Just roll. And just as the ball stopped, which I do think the ball stopped, I think the ball was slightly moving, but they say if I check it, And he plays that pass like if it was, it seemed like if he passed the ball to he and just knock it straight back in the leg like they're playing small goal. And they went and score.
Yeah.
That's how it looked. You know, but VAR said they check it and the ball stopped moving. That is the excuse. You understand?
So, but that was crazy. The referee's supposed to even, like, somebody's supposed to set the ball in a position to take a free kick. Like, that's, I don't know,
man. I don't know.
I don't know why. Is that kind of, it was a situation where I felt like this shouldn't happen. I think that taking short free kicks in the attacking third is not like a thing, because obviously in the attacking third, when they get a set piece,
mm-hmm.
it's a good opportunity to score. So mostly, you know, the team take any kick one of send up people into the front to kick the ball mm-hmm. in cross or
so try to take a shot on goal. Maybe preference of the person, yeah. the player, yeah. the team. Sorry.
So I don't think a quick free kick is unlikely. There, it's just like yeah. you have a excellent opportunity to score, so you want to set up something to yeah. make sure that you could score that way, right? But I think if the referee is talking to a player. Or a player is talking to the referee, like, there's clear there's been a stopping play, and these players have stopped playing, like, and the referee's involved with that player, like, I don't think it should happen, like, the referee should, I don't know.
As much as I agree, I don't believe in the referee at all with this, we switch off.
Yeah, we switch off for sure.
Them fellas turn the back on the ball. For sure. And West Ham took full advantage.
I don't blame it. I gave the referee, like, 10% blame it.
I didn't even give him any, and then Leno had a stinker too.
Right, because what I was going to say is, Leno has to take 90% of the blame. Like, I don't care what happened, it has no way that's supposed to go inside it. Like, Leno switch off to the point of, like, I didn't even go in and keep, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy, man. And after defending this man all season,
You have another rough patch.
You have another rough patch for sure. Since that red card, boy. Kind of crazy. Then we get on to the third goal. Tini. In fact, I got let you start. Tini, as I say, Tini, that's your boy, KT3.
So, you go ahead, man. Somebody gave my house a pass. First to begin with. I can't remember who it was.
It was Leno.
And then Tini, you know. Trying to improvise, he should have taken it. He should have taken a touch now, right? He tries to play it one time and passes it straight to West Ham player.
I don't think it was a hospital pass, but go ahead.
Bro, that's a hospital pass, though.
It was a goal kick. The keeper clearly plays the ball to Tini on the wing.
Tini had three West Ham players around him when he put that ball to him.
Tini is one of the best players on the team.
Correct, and that's why I feel like he should have taken. Yeah, if he did take a touch, he'd get out of the situation. But I think he probably was lazy and choose the lazy option out and try to hit it one time and move it on one time and he hit it straight out with some player. In his defense, he did get back and block the cross.
Yeah.
And whoever saw, so he following the wing back, who was playing left wing at that time? Saka.
Probably Saka.
Saka in tracking the runner and the man get a free
don't
crossing.
Don't be on Bukayo when you don't make a problem. The man get
free crossing. Free crossing. And on top of the free cross now, David Luiz get bullied.
I don't think he get bullied. I don't think he get bullied because he didn't bullied. Jump. It's a difference if you jump on you get bullied when you jump. He didn't need the ground. He tiptoe basically.
That was unacceptable.
You know that jump where you jump where your feet don't leave the ground.
So that boy looked like he was under no pressure to get a header.
Absolutely, it was. And this fella is not known for headers, so I was really surprised that he got the header.
And this sickening Suchek.
Susek, boy. We could get him, you know, though. You
think? Yeah, sick than our rhythm, though.
I think we could get him, but he's slotting right next to the party.
Yeah, you were sick than boy.
Yeah, he get a little touch on it to make sure he go into the goal.
You were sick than. He like, so, he kind of remind me of Better Ramsey.
Okay. Alright.
I did cool. say Better Ramsey.
Cool, no problem. No problem. As I was saying, though, you know, while Keegan was talking, interrupting the mountain, yeah, but that ball that Karen Tini do
was madness. That's not my thing.
But I read that he got back and he really blocked the cross. It's just kind of unfortunate, you know. I don't know blame for Bukayo here at all.
Wait, he didn't track the right back.
It was just unfortunate. That's all I had to say. That's all I had to say. It was unfortunate that the ball landed to the perfect West Ham player for him to put in the cross.
All right.
But all in all, Kieran Tini had to take a little blame there. I think David Luiz.
No, plenty blame for Kieran.
he had to take 50% of the blame. The other blame had to go to David Luiz. Because I don't expect Bukayo to track back all the time. And, he had to jump, bro. Jump. I don't know why.
David Luiz?
Yeah, we are 2-0 down. How are you not more engaged?
I have real things to say about this game, and I just wait until...
You know, how are you not more engaged? Okay. Right. I have no idea how you're not more engaged, though. We don't tune in.
Bro, I have a lot to say, but I just wait until we get through the
That's
routine.
That's crazy,
man. The routine things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
When we finish with these routine things, I'll say exactly what I want to say about the game and some individual players as well.
Right. So let me get in then to the goal we scored, Lacazette. I used to count another Lacazette goal, even though officially it was awarded to Suchek.
That ball was going in the stands, dog. Thank God, Suchek, pay for it.
Hey, good shot, Lacazette. It's not in the back of the net. It's your force that put out your shot, put out goal, put in the back of the net. It's your goal. I don't want to hear no small talk.
Callum,
the official stats.
Man like Callum. Teach Bellerin out across.
No, but Lacazette is in a...
He's in a very good form right now.
Dog, I was going to say poor form, boy, because, I mean, let me even look back to that shot he take against Tottenham where he totally missed the ball, dog. I mean, and Gary, the penalty is like, he getting lucky, though.
Nah,
the second game of him getting lucky.
It's true.
Because, look, I watching from the cross, Lacazette, takedown on that ball was horrible.
Nah, the touch was good.
Dog, he touched it, it bubbled on his knee, onto his chest, he had to reset his foot.
That's a good touch.
Did Callum put that ball that hard for him to bubble it?
Yeah, he played that.
I mean, I was glad he hit it, but I mean, I see him tap it on his leg. Yeah, I find that touch bad, unless the ball come real hard, you could get to your chest, dog.
It was a driven cross.
Anyway. I mean, I don't find he take a bad shot.
He was to hit that one time.
I glad that, nah, boy, before me and boy, I'm kind of glad. But I glad he take that shot. But I like the instinct, so that what I like to see from Lacazette, that instinct, because he take it, and then he take it down to his foot, boom, one time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Suchet's own goal, as we say. I was real fuming, by the way.
What's wrong?
This game, I was human, I was like 2-0 down by 20th minute, like we going on loss. I keep seeing Arsenal going on. Anyway, you say we'll talk about it after.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it after. We end the game 3-1, and you know all the commentators are saying, whoever scored the next goal is the one that's going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And man like Dawson, boy. Shout out to the big dog, Dawson.
Oh.
But even bigger shout out to Callum, boy. Like, I watch him foot mob had Callum at a 6.2.
Mm-hmm.
That's madness. Like, Callum should have had 2 assists this game, though.
Because foot mob, they're using particular stats.
Yeah, they're using his stats.
To rate the player. There are some things that players do that stats don't show.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for
I'll
sure.
get to that when we're talking about party after. Because that's when the players want to highlight. The stats says that he had a terrible game. But without Partey, we was not scoring them goals. Go ahead.
Right, for sure. So, Callum putting the 2 crosses. I really like that cross. That's a cross where I really like to play, like, in FIFA. Let's play hard across the box. And, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, it's not like a Bellerin cross. Like, a lot of Bellerin crosses, there'd be like a hit and hope. This one was driven, and I think Aubameyang was running in last post. So it was definitely falling to Aubameyang. Dawson had no choice to put his foot on it, but it had so much power in that no matter how he put his foot, he just had to hope it deflect off his foot. Unfortunately, back at the net.
Oh, fortunately.
unfortunately for West Ham. Fortunately for us, back at the net. Sorry for my sleeping aunt, because when we scored our goal... It was chaos. Chaos in the house. But anyway, let me go on to the last goal. I don't know. Don't stick around too much of this. Nicolas Pepe.
Pepito! Nicolas!
Pepe with the assist in this game. Boy, that was a good...
Beautiful
good,
cross.
Good.
End
good
the product.
Good up cross, dog. It's great.
End the product.
Yeah.
Alex Lacazette.
How no
luck in that,
huh? How no luck in that, huh? You do what my boy David Luiz was supposed to do. He jumped, but he had to.
Yeah.
You understand? Jump. But he had to. Ooh, it come off. I mean, I was a little concerned, you know, that ball, that you would have had a sweat on your head. The ball could have, like, skid off. Yeah. I explained. But yeah, good goal. I don't know to say that. I think Callum is... No. Ooh. Dog, we need one big up. Odegaard.
I come into that.
Sexy.
The no look.
Sexy.
Reverse no look.
Boy, that pass. It's like when you make that pass, it's like, all right, goal. Yeah. And like you waste that pass if you didn't score, but that's like Ozil level. You know? That's like what Ozil used to do. You know? Anyway, that's it. And before we go on, I just want to say I was really, really, really upset with David Luiz. I know that this is our great comeback. We were down 3-0. I'm not trying to as a football player, though, you can't be trying to draw no game, but. And where some had the chance down in the end they didn't get is the 92nd minute and 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And tell me why. On the final chance of the game, we had 30 seconds so we could probably try a little 1-2 passes to move the ball up the field to take a chance. Why David Luiz trying to find Martinelli among 3 to 4 West Ham players? Miss-kick the whole thing and it just gone out. And by well, West Ham obviously... In playing for no slips, they lost him from 3-0 down. They take the time, and that's it. The game ends 3-0. I couldn't understand. Like, everybody was like, yeah, boy, they come back. We like the fight. And I like, dog, I want we to win us. You understand? Like, we supposed to go win. That is what we are for. We supposed to be winning this game regardless of the fact that we went down 3-0.
Yeah.
We didn't come here to get a draw. We's not our team. We come here to win. So I couldn't understand that pass.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got it. I know you have real things to say, as you said. You go
so let me touch on the bad first. So the bad thing is Arsenal players this game, like they had a hangover. Like my players, every single one of them boys was on the beach. The second to every ball. Not sprinting. Not closing down. You understand? Losing every duel. It's like, what really going on here? This is Ari Malik side versus our Premier League side. That's how I was looking.
Yeah.
Because we just getting the ball and boom, long lost it. Get back pressure again. Boom, long lost it. And that's how he was going the whole first half of it. Like I said, not pressing, just walking. Walking, he was getting me so mad. Saka, oh, good. That boy played 2-2.
He gonna never fight you before. But that, take your time with Bukayo.
Bro, I don't care.
Take your time. Take your time with Bukayo.
You understand?
As far as I am concerned, Arteta overplayed him on this season, and that's why he playing.
He burned out, but what I'm saying is, this is not the first game he played like this. We passed about 3 games. He was playing below standards. You understand? He gets some one-on-ones and think churning away. Think they're supposed to score.
But take your time, remember, Kyle.
That's all you understand? Aubameyang again. Be careful. Aubameyang again. At time men score them what? The light skinned well back. What kind of thing that was on the court, Aubameyang? You understand?
Nah, if I was Aubameyang, I can't nobody do me that.
The stats were saying,
How do they talk about that guy like that, boy?
The stats were saying, that was showing that Arsenal play better as a team without Aubameyang. That's what Sky Sports was showing up before the match.
Yeah, because Odegaard is the guard. You understand?
Yeah.
Odegaard had a good first half compared to the rest of the team.
No, he played a good whole game. I ain't even want to talk about him. This is the bad performances first.
Right, yeah.
Even though some of the people that I mentioned now turn it around, for example, like I said, he turned it around. Aubameyang, terrible. Xhaka, oh, good. He looked like he was can't wait to go home to see his wife or something, boy. You understand? Like, he mind was not on this match, boy.
Yeah, but you don't have a wife too, so you don't know it like to, you know. I gotta say.
Don't get me started. Because the man don't say any fans talking about the family and he do like that. But bro, your mind wasn't in that match. And it was clearly shown. You done do run already. And it was even worse than that. This game was terrible. I find it take too long to take it off. You understand? Partey had a kind of start-stop, kind of shaky first half, but it wasn't as bad as you could make it out to seem. Tierney, again, he was a little shaky, but a lot of the attacks went down the other side of the pitch. So you didn't really get to see as much as of him as you would normally see. Because a lot of the attacks was going down Chambers' side, because Chambers was getting on that game.
Yeah.
Alright? Pablo and Luis, they was just off it. That's what I would say. They was just off it this game. I wouldn't say it was real bad, but it was off it. Leno continue his shaky form of recent in this game with shakiness. And I have to mention all these bad things because it was real unacceptable the way they played that first half.
For sure. At least the first 30 minutes
was
absolutely abysmal. Absolutely abysmal, for sure. I have to say, though, I think that Partey would not get the licks if he would shoot in training and not on the pitch. Because I feel like he playing like a step slow, one, and then he shooting not helping his case. But the dog is, like, I can't fight how good defensively he is now, but, like, I feel like we would be super porous without him, even on the bad games.
Okay, so let me start the positives one time.
Yeah.
Two things Partey did this game that starts to show. Partey was constantly breaking the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Without Partey, Odegaard would not have looked as good as he did.
Right.
Partey was finding Odegaard right through cutting them lines and finding him in those tight spaces that Odegaard find himself in. Partey made 13 ball recoveries in that game.
That's crazy. That's good numbers.
Yeah, I understand. But the stats do really show all of that.
Yeah.
That stuff. But so Partey, for me, without him, we was never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm, so he turned it around in the second half as well. Big shout out to Callum Chambers. He starts having a little low. But
nah, but I mean technically, two assists in this game.
Yeah.
Technically, on a technical sense. I find personally, like, how you're not, even though it's our own goal, how you're not awarding the man assist there, dog?
I think he should be. And Callum, those crosses were sublime, bro.
But you know what's crazy, yeah? Because as we're talking about Callum, I think Callum is an excellent right back if we play as a team. Like, he gets proper cover and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
Because obviously, if he's just isolated, it's licks. You understand? But playing as a team, as a unit, like the person playing the right wing cover for him, the center back covers, the center mid covers, and gives him the opportunity to go up and go down without any kind of problems, I find that's good. But yeah, go ahead. Anything?
Yeah, so Callum, again, those crosses were sublime. He, hold up, I would argue that. You can't really choose between him and Tierney who to score better. Can't really choose.
I would choose Tierney because Tierney has a longer track record
of putting in
the crosses.
But Callum doing that since before he got the injury.
Yeah, but Callum hardly play right back though. So it's like you're seeing good crosses, but he's basically plays centre back first more than anything else.
Yeah, true.
This is the first time in a while because remember he played good games at right back, and then he gets skinned like 2-3 games, and Wenger said never again, and it's literally been until now he's playing right back. So, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so, Callum, big shout out to Callum. Who else again? Well, Tierney didn't get much in this game because our attacks are going on the right hand side. Alright? Ode.
Yeah, now would you say if again to mention the Norwegian captain?
Can't forget Ode. Ode, he brought up the body. But he's a class above, but
He
I think he had potential to become an Arsenal legend. Potential. If he stays.
I think it's real unlikely that he stays.
It's because of his age and 22.
Well, not only that, like, when you come, right, like, for instance, he has been on loan a lot out of Real Madrid, right? He had that good two games when he went on a 2-year loan, and Real Madrid called him back because of how good he plays, right? I think coming to Arsenal, playing for, as much as we're not a high-level club as we used to be, we're still a high-level club. And elevating Arsenal, because that's what he has done so far since he entered the team.
Mm-hmm.
He, regardless of how well Emil was playing, I like half the things that the guy doing, Emil can't do it. Simple as that, cut and dry. And elevating our team like Arsenal is making the Real Madrid people watch. The only thing is that, you know, a lot of the Real Madrid fans and them are saying like, you know, Zidane don't like him now, but...
Yeah, Real Madrid fans rate him, but the manager don't, so...
Yeah. So, the best opportunity of us keeping him, I think, is will be a year long run.
Bro, he already played more minutes for Arsenal, and he has played for Real Madrid.
Yeah, I know, I saw that as well. But I think the only opportunity is of us keeping him is if Zidane is still there, and we get a next year long loan, and then maybe Kroenke decide to give you some money, because I think he's gonna cost minimum 60. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's all. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. So, right. Lacazette comes in the second half, like the Lacazette I accustomed seeing into play. Alright, pass and move. He wasn't pressing, I must admit. But everything else he was doing was really, really noteworthy.
Yeah, because, I mean, the whole team lifted after the half, right? And it kind of makes me wonder, like, when you're watching the team, you just hear Mikel's voice. Like, I don't even think I could take Mikel Arteta seriously if he was cussing me, dog.
Bro, so, when he was Arsenal captain and I heard him speak for the first time, I was like, dog, we're talking like a child, dog. His tone now is like a child.
Yeah. Can you be, Awa!
Yeah!
Awa! And I'm like, dog, like, in my mind, it's like, Awa, like, imagine he trying to cuss you in the dressing room.
So, like, now, I think I get accustomed to him, and as well as I think he started to speak a little lower.
He has to, because, yeah. I mean, no, like, you could cuss from now, you could cuss from now to the end of the world. Nobody, like, men could just be laughing. Dog. Imagine jokers like Pepe and Aubameyang and Lacazette, and he's like, I'm not, if you...
You know? I don't even know if he just cussed, though. I never hear him cuss.
Dog, Pep the real cuss. He come up on that Pep, I would not be surprised if he just cuss, though.
We'll see.
Pep the real cuss, dog. That's crazy how much them... Like, I didn't even think, like, coaches used to cuss like that until, like, you watch them, like...
Yeah.
You know, I know Trinidad coaches is cuss. You know?
Yeah.
But I didn't expect it on that level. But anyway,
I'm finished chatting it. I'm here to talk about...
Yeah, Benjamin.
Yeah, that was the negative. We're not going into the positive.
I come in close. Man like Nicolas Pepe.
Okay, I'll start with Pepe then. Because, so right now, I'm very annoyed. Because the Arsenal fan base, way too toxic towards Pepe.
And dog him down.
You understand? The man can't do nothing wrong. Every time the man make a little error, you understand? The man getting real antsy. And Saka playing a bag for the past 3 games. And it's like, oh, he had credit in the bank. But the stats speak differently about Pepe. Look, this game he came on and look, he created a goal.
Yeah.
You understand? And it's working with X2 is the men who fight and now Pepe is the same men who rate Alex Iwobi. What is this? You can't compare Iwobi and Pepe. Pepe have end product. Plenty end product.
Dog, I hope to go on your train, not for me.
Though. Nah, not for you.
Hey.
Because you were Pepe too.
Hey.
Yeah,
I want to know. I know I saw one real rate Iwobi, dog, when he was there. I'm not trying to say he's the world beater, but I don't know much of Arsenal fans that have rated Iwobi.
Oh, man who rate Iwobi fighting Pepe.
Yeah, true. Not for somebody, though, because few Arsenal fans rate Iwobi, though.
Anyways, dog. I just want to continue to encourage my player. We do not have a player like him in the squad. He's the only player like that in our squad. You understand? With our flair, with our unpredictability, and the man of end product, whether it be goals and assists. I still think he's one of the, in the top three dead ball kickers in the club. Top three. Had to be.
Yeah.
You understand? Free kicks, corners, anything.
Definitely better than William.
Definitely. I don't know now. Well, then that's kick good enough. But I wouldn't say, he should be better. I think he'd be better. I'll put him above William. But Pepe, great game. Keep your head up, bro. Don't study them haters on them, because you're going to be really good for us. Right? Moving on. Man like Gabriel Martinelli.
Tango, do you get some minutes, right?
The man, this game,
that little break he got, do him good. That this cameo, he looked real hungry. Yeah. He looked like the Martinelli we all know and love. And that's one of the
Don't be surprised if you see Martinelli kind of take Saka place in the lineup over Pepe.
I wouldn't be mad. But right now, I think some of the minutes that Saka again, Martinelli could get.
Yeah.
Emil came on. He didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't pull out trees either.
Yeah, for sure. Understand? I think he probably just came on to keep that energy going, the bush with the draw.
Yeah, he keep it nice and tidy. And so for me, Arsenal, they're real scamming with this game. I felt like it was dragging me back to health with that kind of performance in the first half.
This game felt like November, boy. The first half felt like November, boy. Like, I was like, dog, we back to this, boy?
I thought I was real fickle. I don't want that to go, but if I watch any match, like if I do a watch along and things like that happening, I just started to say, what kind of thing? Because I really passionate about my club. Like, I really love my club. Like, men don't understand. You understand?
For sure.
So, right. So that's just my 5 cents, 2 cents, or you want to put it, or the Arsenal West Ham game. I really want to commend the boys for the fight for coming back from that 3-0 deficit. And,
Yeah, for sure. I think, because this is the kind of going 3-0 down after 32 minutes. It's like, you're not coming back. You're not winning. You're being dominated.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when you're being dominated, it's hard enough if you to come back. I actually felt like the team, even though we was playing sluggish in the first half, like, we wasn't playing that bad. Like, to be honest, the first two goals was just a real good goal from Lingard. And just, you know,
and the second one catches
the second one goes, we get caught sleeping. And I feel like, you know, given those two anomalies, you probably end up leaving this game with the W.
Yeah.
But that's about it. And one thing I wanted to mention before we move on, though, because I saw this was our comment, and there's something that people, I don't know, I'm not saying that Pepe didn't have bad games and wasn't playing terrible and thing, But Ole Kia want a dog and man for how he was playing in October, November, and still want to dog him in March, man. That's crazy, you know. I was, like, somebody was watching. I saw a comment during the Olympiacos game, and somebody was like, I fed up with Pepe. Let me get out there, get him. And I was like, look, this man...
You mad?
And this man create up chances, aren't they?
Score
like,
important goals.
That's crazy, man. I don't understand the... I still can't understand the Pepe hit. I think he has done enough so far, especially turning out 2021, to prove that, well, he's not worthless.
Yeah.
You understand? And Mendes treats him like he's worthless.
Right.
Like,
if we sell Pepe, it will come back to bite me.
People is disrespecting him a little bit too much.
He's not Jovinho. He's not Iwobi.
He's better than both of them.
Yes.
He's better than both of them for sure. I think, and I'll always say this, I think what Pepe ability is, I don't even think we see it yet, but like, I know the man have way more potential, look. I just need him to find out it, to figure it out, you know what I'm saying?
You see, like, how Arsenal get defensively solid and now we're moving forward into attack? Same thing with Pepe right now. Right now, Pepe off the ball, you cannot fault him, dog. Let me pull up the stats, because the man had a real ball recoveries in all the games he played. The man just winning back the ballers. The man just winning back the ball, The man off the ball. You cannot question that right now, then.
For sure, for sure. I mean, I want to stretch out the podcast a little long, like how we handled it last time.
Yeah, that's right.
So while you're doing that, you know,
In that little cameo in that game, he came on when he had the assist. He still won 4 duels and had 2 ball recoveries in that little 15 minutes he come on for.
And that was good.
He didn't lose none. Duels lost 0.
Yeah.
Duels won 4.
Yeah.
And two ball recoveries in that little 15 minutes, you understand? I should pull up Aubameyang to show that in the whole hour he play. You understand?
So like our agenda.
The same 2 ball recoveries in an hour versus Pepe in 15 minutes, you understand?
Yeah.
Duels won, Aubameyang, he really won duel by 7, boy. But he lost 5, Pepe ain't lose no duels. You understand?
Nah, the dog, you know, man, I don't think he deserves that. Be dogged.
Yeah.
But that being said, I just want to go quickly on to the Europa League draw. Obviously, we were drawn against Slavia Prague. And, you know, coming out of that game, have you know, a little controversy with it. I just want to talk about it quickly. I probably wanted to talk a little longer, but I'll talk about it a little quickly. Again, I mean, this is not something that should be said, but racism is not tolerable at all in any context, anything. Like, no, there is absolutely no reason for racism anywhere in the world. And I'm kind of very disappointed by the fact that UEFA has not taken any decision regarding the alleged racism. There's no investigation being done by UEFA. As far as I know, I could be speaking out of turn, but I have not seen any investigation. Nothing is going on. UEFA has not said anything. And I mean, Arsenal is a club that has a lot of black players. Like, there are few white players in the club. I don't say few, but I mean, like, half the team is, you know, black players. Half the team is, like, you know, of Caucasian descent, that kind of thing. And, bro, like, we cannot. I honestly think people have been saying that there's nothing that we could do or nothing that we should do. I think regardless of whatever stipulations Arsenal could face, we shouldn't play this game. That's just my opinion. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think people want us to play them, to beat them bad. I don't want to tolerate any team, any player, any institution that not taking racism in this time seriously. You understand what I'm saying? And UEFA is not Slavia Prague has shown to not do it. And it's disgusting us. It's absolutely disgusting.
What disgusts me is the fact that the club didn't release any statement.
Yeah.
And the fans involved, supporting the player with the racism.
Right.
And I was even thinking back to I really like Arsenal Fan TV. I watch it all the time. And one of their personalities made a racist comment on a live stream. Not even to a black player. It was a different ethnic group. And that was the last straw. He get banned. You're fired, lock off. That was the last show he was on.
Yeah, for sure.
You understand? So, in the UK...
That was the guy who said something about Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see about it.
I just want to call no names.
No, I ain't calling no names. I don't know, because I don't watch TV. Yeah, but I know it had an incident about Son.
It was about Son, I know. That was it. That was the last show, bro.
Yeah.
Boss man said, that's not acceptable. And I cannot commend that, because it's not just... Wasn't black racism in a way.
No, yeah, just more, racism across the board.
Across the board, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
Yeah, for sure. The funny thing about it too, I looking at the lineup, right, for Prague. Prague have 4 black players that started in that game, but right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I just so utterly confused by absolutely no action from the players on the team, from UEFA. Like, they're just going on, go ahead. Like, the only thing, the latest thing I saw is that they plan to arrest the player if he comes to the UK. And, I mean, the only caveat is just don't let him come. You know what I'm saying? And that player could play against us in the second leg when we go back to, where are they from? Is it Russia? Czech Republic. You know, we could just go back to the Czech Republic and face that guy, and who knows, like, he could do the same thing again, like, because you clearly don't care in a year like this year, like, especially what's going on in 2020 into 2021, like, these people are, like, straight up disgusting.
Yeah.
I find the only way we could move forward with this, because it's no conversation with these people, is that the stances have to be strong, and it have to be that regardless of any consequence, we're not tolerating it.
Yeah, and that's why some of the players not taking any anymore, because they're saying, we're taking any every match, but men still calling people all kind of thing.
Yeah. The walk, and this is how you know that this guy is going to do something bad. When you watch the video, he puts his hand to block the camera.
Well, he already know, bro.
And then want to come afterwards and say, he said effing guy.
Nah, he didn't what? Just swear. It wasn't just swearing. He put in those racist comments.
And that's crazy, bro.
And the Brethren was right there, so he came.
Everybody, yeah, that's crazy, dog. Everybody was around here, and all I'm gonna get that game was a yellow card.
I know he read him long after. He's like, "Hey, you racist! He's a racist."
That's crazy.
Immediately,
that's crazy. Wait,
I started to say that.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I think you take zero tolerance seriously. If UEFA is not gonna do something, somebody had to do something somewhere. Though. Mm. Somebody had to do something, and I know Arsenal is not the club to do it, right?
Nah, right now we really
think. I really don't think. But I mean, at the same time, but in my mind, like, nah, boy. Like, something had to be done. Like, the only acceptable outcome is if we beat them, like, 10-0.
Yeah.
20-0 on aggregate or something. Because this is crazy, but it's crazy to me. If I was in charge of Arsenal, and if I was Stan Kroenke, I would take that stance. But I don't think them care about that.
Nah, I
don't care about that. But anyway, let's just move on quickly before we end the podcast. You know, we had the international breakers on. You know, I don't really care about it, but we actually had a good few players called up. I mean, yo.
Right, so.
Leno is called up for Germany, us.
Before you move forward, right?
Yeah.
A little while now, I've been having a little problem. Yeah. Because back in the day, every single starting player for Arsenal was an international.
Yeah,
for sure. Was starting for the country.
For sure.
That's when we was punching with the big guns.
For sure.
And for a while now, we practically had two players in our team that was starting for the country, Aubameyang and Xhaka.
Yeah.
Nobody else was an international.
Pepe didn't get called up too, Ivory Coast.
Yeah, but Pepe never come. That's almost just
and
like,
Nene does get called up all the time.
Oh, there's a starter? No.
Yeah?
Then he's not at first 11.
No, first 11 in Egypt, of course.
I mean in Arsenal.
Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah.
So the starters for us.
Colasina? But sorry, go ahead.
By Dion playing here, you all understand where I'm coming from. Yeah. You understand? We are having that problem. And now, since the beginning, after the January transfer window, according to points, Arsenal has been fourth.
Yeah.
Right? And since the January transfer window, I think if not all, at least about 90% of our starting 11 playing for the country and starting.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they're not going away to make up numbers. They're starting.
Yeah, well, I think Leno making up numbers.
Well, not really. Goalkeeping is that kind of position where
you're making up numbers or you're playing.
Yeah.
Come on. But, I mean, you know, men like Ronaldson, Leno, Kieran Tierney, he's starting for sure.
Yeah, so I'm feeling really good right now.
I'm glad to see Cedric find any form to get called off for Portugal as well.
I'm feeling real good about the amount of players.
Bukayo Saka get the call.
Obviously, I don't want them to go away and play because I want them to rest up and
yeah, stay and with that's and exactly what you're talking about. Odegaard was injured like today.
Odegaard pick up an ankle injury.
Hopefully, it's just a little swelling. You know, ice up. He's gonna be back in a week or something. Sprint.
And
yeah. I don't even think I want to be aspirin. I want to just be, it just swell up a little bit. And it ice up on
it. The way that look bad in that photo, I see.
I didn't even want to photo.
It looks look bad.
Mona, let you hope you out for 2 weeks. 3 weeks maximum. Maximum. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm glad to see that, you know, I could actually look at the players from our club getting called up. Party was a late addition, I think, to Ghana, but he was still called up.
But his one wasn't because of his form, it was because of some COVID thing.
Yeah, for sure. Right? But anyway, that's it really.
I just want to see, like, it's been a while since we crossed an hour with our podcast, and normally we just do 5 games and ain't cross an hour.
These games kind of intense, you know, bro. You know? But that's just how it is go. So this is literally the second podcast where we crossed the hour mark.
For real?
Yeah, last week we was at like an hour and 3. This one a little longer, that kind of thing.
Wow.
But that's one thing. Anyway,
less games, more time to talk about.
We keep rambling on when we should be ending the podcast.
Okay, we're gonna end it now.
Yeah. So once again, you want to thank you all for listening. It's definitely been a pleasure. Make sure to like, share, subscribe. And this has been GunaPod TT. Wait, hold up. I'm going to get Keegan the opportunity to come in. Right? So make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And this has been GunaPod TT. Boom!
Thank you for listening to this episode of GunaPod TT.